Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Well, I was going to start with welcome to the final Friends on Fire episode, podcast episode. But if you ask me how I am, I'm going to go off on 12 tangents.
All right. Why don't we start over? Why don't you do the introduction?
Well, I just listened to our first episode just before this. I wanted it to be fresh. So fresh that I didn't plan exactly enough time to listen to it. So I just listened to most of our first episode. And there were a couple interesting things. One, I'm doing this totally off the cuff because I didn't write any of this down, but one, we weren't that bad. So either we were already okay then, or we haven't really gotten that much better. I'm not sure which. A little bit of everything, but like it was good. It was I've heard other people say they go back and listen to old episodes and it's like cringy.
We've
didn't feel that
consistent,
at all.
I think is
yeah,
what
we've
you're
been
saying.
Consistent is a good way to say it. I'm gonna leave you lots of fun noises to edit out of this episode.
Okay.
As an extra goodbye. I was just sipping coffee. So we've been consistent. You make a comment, not a joke, I don't think, maybe a joke, but within like 5 minutes of the first episode about my long-winded answers and how if I'm going to be like this, it's going to take a while to get through these episodes. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's funny that was in the first episode. That was also consistent.
Yeah, super
throughout.
Consistent.
Super consistent. We slowly got longer and longer. And we did make a comment that we referenced in our last episode about if we get to if we get to 200 episodes and have a decent following, which we did. And I was more, forget the like net worth sharing point. It was more of, I think we both made the comment so flippantly as if that might not be a reality, right? And so I'm just reflecting on it's a reality. We've gotten to 200. We have a pretty solid and consistent and, you know, constantly growing following. And we're here. So welcome to, for anyone who started here, you might want to go back to episode one and work your way up to 200 because you are now listening to the final Friends on Fire podcast episode.
All right. Well, what do we do now?
Okay. I got one question for you, Mike.
Okay.
In one word, how are you feeling right now?
Oh, that's a good one. Proud.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
You don't get to reverse that question, so let's keep moving.
Well, I'll tell you, I am proud because, as you kind of alluded to on our first episode, I don't think either of us fully appreciated that we could actually reach the point we're at today. 200 episodes is a lot of material, and we've done this 4 years, and we have hundreds of thousands of downloads. I mean, this has been a very successful activity for us. And so I am extremely proud of everything we accomplished.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think we would get here, but only because I tend to not think that far ahead, interestingly. When I say I don't think that far ahead, I mean, I tend to go into things 150% and just be somewhat in the moment thinking weeks and months ahead, but not where's this going to be in 5 years. I always hated the career question of where do you see yourself in 5 years? Because I was like, I have no idea. A lot can change in 5 years. I'm just going to put my head down, work really hard, stick to what I care about and my ideals and ethics and everything else. And we'll see where that gets me in 5 years. And I think that way about this podcast in many ways. in the sense of I took the same approach with this podcast, in the sense that it's gotten us to a really cool and great place.
And so today we're going to try to give this show the send-off it deserves. And we got a ton of very wonderful emails and text messages and Instagram messages, and we tried to hit on some of them, but we could not hit on all of them. And so we're not going to be able to read everything we got, but there is one that came in today from a very devoted listener, and I thought it would be appropriate because it kind of sums up what we are hoping to achieve, and so it means a lot to get this from Matt. So thank you, Matt. He writes in a much longer email. I'm taking part of it. I'm excited for what is coming next for you, Maggie, and I applaud you both for not only having the guts to end the show when it made sense for you, but to have the gosh damn respect for your listeners to do it as well as you did. Such a classy thing to do. Go out on top of your game without a degradation in quality. Certainly no pod fading with the two of you. I think that's important, and that's something that I personally wanted to look back on this and feel really good about every single episode that we did to finish out on top.
Yeah, I think that was a very nice note from Matt. Do you know that I met Matt in person?
No.
IRL. Matt and I both were at the same conference. That's how I think he first heard about us, was through the Manager Tools interview we did very early on.
Yeah, that was a big jump in listeners.
And we were at the same conference. Yeah. We were at the same conference about just not that long ago. I was incredibly sick. It was maybe six months ago. It was after I retired, which is kind of my my measurement of everything is like pre-retirement, post-retirement. And I was so sick, so I was not in any way myself and had very low energy and just felt terrible physically terrible the entire time. But I got to hang out with him a bunch, and we had dinner together with a group of people one night. We shared an Uber to the airport. He's just a really cool guy, and it was neat to get to talk to and meet someone who kind of knew me better than I knew them because they'd been listening to the podcast for years. So anyways, shout out to Matt. Thank you for the very nice message and nice note. And Mike, I am practicing a massive amount of restraint because I really like to tie things up very neat with a bow. And that won't be today because there were a slew of other final comments and questions we got since we had already recorded episode 198 and 199 that we either didn't have time for or they came in after we recorded those episodes. And the perfect me would like to read and deal with and process all of those messages because that's how I operate. But we just can't do it. We're having to do good is better than perfect. All right, done. Is it done is better than perfect?
Something
like that. So we're not going to read all of those, but I do want you to know we have read all of those messages ourselves. And we appreciate everyone taking the time to share them and send us a quick note, tell us what this has meant to them, etc. And just thank you for taking the time to send us a comment. And if you send us a question, I'm sorry we haven't gotten to it. We tried to get to as many of them as we could.
So Maggie, I think it'd be fun to recap our origin story for everybody.
Okay, I was born in 1980.
No, not that far back. Podcast.
Okay, well, when I was 5, my brother broke my arm. Says it wasn't on purpose. Okay, the podcast.
Yes.
3.5 years ago.
Yeah. So Maggie, you and I met at work.
And
so I was your...
I'm not going to let you get through this story.
Yeah, I know. I was your finance partner. We were talking about finance, but it turned out that you were also into personal finance. You had been very frugal. You liked talking about it with people. And I think you were down on the finance floor looking for something. And you needed an extra speaker for some panel that you were doing. And you had Kirsten from Rich and Regular on it. It was you and Kirsten. And I think you asked me or I volunteered and we got very excited about it. And you and I and Kirsten did this panel for employees and we talked about money. And that was super fun.
I didn't even remember that panel was the first kind of, I mean, I'm sure we talked, and but realization that this was something that like you would really enjoy doing and I also enjoy doing.
And so after that, I suggested to you that we just do something together, some project, some business, because I could tell that we worked well together. We were like-minded. We were interested in the same things. And so we tossed around a bunch of ideas and somehow, for some reason, settled on a podcast. I don't know why. It turned out to be a good idea. But of all the things that we could have done, we picked this. And I think it was the right decision. Of all the types of projects or businesses we could have done together, this one, I think, gave us the most longevity.
I can't remember what, but you had an idea for something else. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. I really want to do a podcast. I was like very hung up on doing a podcast. I don't remember why and what.
I might have suggested starting a business because I also like making money.
Yeah. It's funny. I have a bad memory for most things. Wait, oddly, a really good memory for like work-related things, like conversations around a project or something like that. But on personal things, I always have a very loose memory. Like I remember things high level. One thing I do remember is when I would frequently text you needing, having a question about something, the very early on I would text you and you would say, is it work or personal related? And I remember at first being like, oh, I mean, Mike's a pretty serious guy. Maybe he's very much like, oh, if it's not work related, we can't talk about it during work, you know, quote, work hours. And then I realized it was the opposite. You were like, if I had a detailed work finance question, you were like, I don't want to deal with you right now. I'm busy. But if it's a personal question, you'd pop up to my office in 30 seconds.
Yeah, because I would consider it like a break. And if you wanted to ask me a business question, be like, fall into line, lady. I got other stuff to worry about. But if you wanted to talk about your taxes, I'd be like, coming right up. Let me cancel this meeting.
It was like taking a smoke break. Neither one of us smoked, but we took frequent finance breaks.
It's a good comparison.
To discuss things. And, you know, work would get mixed into it.
And so started this podcast and we were off to like a pretty rapid start, I thought. But what really changed things
for us? Wait, Mike, what? Before you get into that.
Okay.
What was the paint color in the room we first recorded in?
Pink.
Do you remember? It was like bubblegum pink. Mm, it was one of my kids' old paint color choice rooms.
Yeah, really got the creative juices flowing.
It was a big like juxtaposition against our green and orange logo and Friends on Fire. And I have some pictures of us recording in those early days in the pink room.
So we were at your house and we would record like 4 episodes at a time. And this was when we weren't, you know, you made the comment earlier that we sounded pretty similar. And I think our type of delivery has sounded the same, but like the way we approach shows has changed a lot and we have gotten much better at doing things off the cuff. And I think we've gotten much better at understanding where each of us are going with our thoughts. So when we would do a 30-minute show, it would take us a long time to prep and to get through that. And so I would go over to your house and I'd be over there for like 6 hours recording 4 30-minute shows. And honestly, if COVID hadn't happened, I'm not sure we would have made it this far because the commitment, the time commitment, the effort to go do this live was like really large.
Well, what's funny is we just assumed we needed to do it live at
the time. Yeah, it was weird. Like everybody going to the office, like, of course you need to go to the office. How else would you do work, you know?
Yeah, it's actually easier of us to record via Zoom. And ironically, like I've recorded episodes with Greg where I'm like, I need you to go to another room and get on Zoom because the quality is hard when you're in the same room with somebody with the type of equipment we have, at least. But if you don't have like a professional studio set up. And so It's ironic that, but I agree, we would not, it would have been a lot harder to, it's just the logistics of we can do an episode a week. We don't have to batch them as much when we're doing it via Zoom. And so, yeah, it is funny how much COVID probably changed the logistics, but to your point, also increased the trajectory of it, making it easy, quote, easy enough for us to keep doing and build into our lives as a weekly show. And Mike, speaking of that, you mentioned something that you didn't really have the stats on at your fingertip a few episodes ago. I think when we announced that this was ending, about something about us being 78 in dog years or something.
In podcast years, not in dog years.
Oh, in podcast years. And I actually promised you I would look up the real stats, and I found them from multiple sources.
All right, hit me.
The average podcast lifespan, this is via one source, is 174 days. So we made it 1,333 days. Wow. So that's 600, it is a weird number because I don't like the number 666, but it's 666% longer than the average, percent longer than the average podcast. And 12% of podcasts have only published a single episode. So they launched that puppy and then we're like, it's too much work. Yeah, I changed my mind. It is really easy to launch a podcast these days, so I'm not shocked by those stats. There's a 50% chance that your podcast is going to pod fade, as they call it, which Matt actually used that word.
I've never heard that term.
I had never heard that term either. So Matt, you're up on the podcast lingo. And so 50% of them pod fade, which is like just kind of disappear, not even a goodbye exactly, which I think is where the term came from, because it's different if you just end it and say, hey, I tried this.
Yeah, 10 episodes, it's a finale in that case.
Yes. And there are more than 500,000 podcasts churned out yearly, but only 20% of them survive.
Wow.
And then also Buzzsprout did a study in which they revealed the top 1% of podcasts get an average of 3,994 downloads in the first 7 days of release. And then it kind of goes down from there. Top 5% of podcasts are getting about 800 downloads a week. The top 10% of podcasts are getting about 330 downloads a week. The top 25% of podcasts are getting about 93 downloads a week. The top 50% of podcasts get more than 30 downloads. So Mike, in our very first week, we got about 500 downloads, and that put us immediately in the top 10% of podcasts, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And then we continued to grow from there to where, based on those stats, now we're in the top 1% of podcasts.
Yeah, which is incredible.
So let's share some Friends on Fire stats.
All right. So we did this for 3.5 years, 200 episodes, approximately 10,000 minutes or 166 hours of podcasting material.
How many seconds is that?
I don't know. 219 ratings. Thank you very much for everybody who took the time to do that, with an average rating of 4.8 stars. And here's some of my favorite stats. We had 400,000 downloads, which is incredible. And Maggie, you and I frequently talked offline about how if we had 50 people show up to a talk at work, that would be important for us.
We felt like it would be worth our time.
Exactly, be worth our time. And so 400,000 downloads, it took us 21 weeks to hit 10,000 downloads. By 95 weeks, we had hit 100,000 downloads. And then it only took us 32 more weeks to hit another 100,000. It took us another 24 weeks to hit another 100,000. And then our last 100,000, we actually slowed down just a little bit and took us 27 weeks on top of that to hit 400,000 downloads. And we never missed a Monday, ever.
Yeah, not one. We planned ahead to do that, right? Yeah. So sometimes when we were traveling, we would batch record. When I was gone for 6 weeks, we batch recorded. You were gone for a big chunk of the summer. You know, we had to schedule all that in advance. But we made sure we never missed a Monday. And I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah, it was interesting because we never debated it, right? Or discussed it. It was never like, oh, I would really like to skip. It never even came up as a discussion point. We just always did it.
What would come up as a discussion point is, hey, I've got a comp, like I'm going to be out of town this weekend, so I can't do something. So I need to make sure we have two episodes ready, right, or, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, I think it really helped to have an accountability partner based on my discussions with other people who podcast. I think it's very easy when you're by yourself to say, ooh, I'm just going to skip this week. And then that's when something can very quickly pod fade, as I now know the term. Yeah, we've never missed a Monday. And I actually am so proud of / a little obsessed with that fact. It's why I will not miss another Monday. Like it's why I'm very rushed to the point of like, my next podcast will launch the Monday after Friends on Fire, because I'm so proud of the fact that we never missed a Monday. I got to keep it up. It's a little ridiculous. Like it could take a month off and then, you know, restart. But I really love the fact that we've never missed a Monday.
Well, Maggie, I hate to break this to you, but in maybe 50 years or so, you're going to miss a Monday.
I mean, it might be sooner than that, but yes. I'm going to pre-record yeah. and have them scheduled.
That's right.
With one of those automatic triggers of if something happens to me, someone has to hit a button. And
yeah,
I'll,
you'll be
I'll have,
posthumously releasing yes, podcasts until yes, you're yes. 150.
I'm going to have ChatGPT continue to make sure I never miss a Monday. Okay. Also, another fun fact, Mike, 80% of our listeners are in the U.S., 20% are international, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
I'm doing this off the top of my head, too. Also, there's a ton of different podcast platforms, and you might think they're all Apple Podcasts, but only 60% of our listens come from Apple Podcasts. The rest come from Spotify, Stitcher. I'm forgetting all the others, but there's a lot of places people listen to podcasts. Overcast is where I personally listen to podcasts. That's a big one, too. And we've done a lot of interviews over the years. Not as many as episodes. We've done 39 interviews over the 3.5 years. We started with a rough goal to kind of do an interview per month. We actually stopped doing interviews this year. And we're a little, when I went back to look, we were a little sporadic on when we did do them in the very beginning. And then I think last year we got pretty consistent about doing them monthly. Interviews are interesting. One of my insights about interviews, and I think I've said, I don't know if I ever said why we quit doing interviews. We got mixed feedback on our interviews, but one of my insights was when you already have two people, it's hard to do a conversation with three or four people. Sometimes we're interviewing two people, a couple or something. And it's a lot, when you're talking to yourself on a podcast, it's a lot easier and more enjoyable to pull in an interview than when you already have two people with a good dynamic and a lot to talk about. And so that's just one of my observations. I love doing our interviews, though. It, to me, was a fun excuse to talk to like-minded people. It was super critical on my path to early retirement. We would have conversations during and then often after the recording. Sometimes Mike would just have to drop off and be like, I gotta go. It was, oftentimes it would be like late and Mike's like, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, cool. And I would keep talking to someone. But those conversations were really important to me personally because I was struggling with how and when and if to leave my job. And it was really helpful to talk to people who had left their jobs and were happy on the flip side and had interesting advice and thoughts about it. So a huge thank you to everyone who spent time with us. An interview definitely gives us a unique kind of thing and reason to connect with someone. And so thank you to the 39 plus someones we connected with, because some of those were couples.
So Maggie, one of the things that I thought we would go through is our top picks. So while we're talking about interviews, what was your favorite interview?
So it's really hard to choose. This is like choosing a favorite child.
All right, here's a softball. Then you can pick three, because I have picked three.
It's funny you say you can pick three, because I'm actually going to pick one, but we interviewed this person three times. So it was the only person we had. I think we had the Fioneers come on twice, and then we had Joel O'Leary come on three times in episode 37, 61, and 122. But I would like to just preface this answer with, it's very hard for me to choose because I have a lot of great memories from one of our very first interviews, the retired toddlers, who, by the way, sent us such a nice note. I should read that one. But from the retired toddlers to Purple Life to Rich and Regular. But Joel O'Leary is someone who we brought on again. He came back to where he was on the show for three times. But he's just someone who I just really appreciate and value and struck up a friendship with and enjoyed talking to him. So that he might be my favorite.
All right.
I had to choose. But look,
this is progress. You've narrowed it down to one. I'm very impressed. I thought you were going to list 10.
I know. What are your top three? I'm excited.
All right. So I have them for different reasons. The most enjoyable interview was also Joel. No relation to me, by the way. He's Australian, not the same O'Leary's, maybe like 10 generations ago, but definitely the most enjoyable, which is why we had kept having him come back. The most special was talking to my dad and Mark Sullivan.
I was just going to say your dad, yeah.
Because, you know, they were the original Friends on Fire. It was nice to talk to them in a way that I knew all the stories, but hadn't heard it from them at the same time. So that was like a very special moment for me. We had them on twice, two of our most popular episodes ever. The most challenged to my preconceived notions was the retired toddlers, now passport explorers. And it's funny because I remember really thinking about the time with my kids in a more extreme way than I had originally been thinking about. It's always been my most important thing, but they really pushed me in their approach to like, what is possible for how much time you could spend traveling with your kids? And it's funny because I read that note they sent us and they mentioned that they were doing this new school program. And so Britta and I talked to them. We talked to this school and we are going to Greece next summer to put our kids in that same school because of their advice and recommendation.
That's so cool. I had no idea.
So those are my three favorites.
That's a good one. And one of many examples where the conversations that we have with people can be so much more meaningful than they seem on the surface, right? They can really leave. And that's why I say about there's people who I had conversations with about leaving my job. And every one of those was like another nudge to say, like, don't be afraid. You can do this. I've done it and I'm happier on the other side. And those conversations meant a lot. And I should have mentioned your dad and Mark, because those conversations also meant a lot. And we're just really cool to talk to people giving us advice who had been through this, but that were also 40 years ahead of us in terms of wisdom and insight in the world.
All right, so let's move on to our favorite episodes.
What was your favorite episode, Mike?
I have four favorite episodes for different reasons.
Okay, bring them on.
All right. The two episodes that I enjoyed the most because they are so critical to the way that I think about money and life, and so what I'm most passionate about, were episodes 103, Spending More Time with Your Kids, A Case for Fire, and number 95, How to Stop Caring What People Think and Start Living. And these are ones that I will send to people when they're like, well, you know, here's my problem. Here's what I want to do. And I'll send them 10 episodes. It's like, it always includes these two because I think it is so critical to people finding happiness in their life. I think the most fun episode I had was 157, Live from Europe, Summer Adventures with Friends on Fire. So we were sitting outside. We were overlooking the Alps. We were drinking beer. You, me, Greg, Britta. That was really fun.
That was a fun episode.
And then my other favorite episode, I think, was number 50, Maggie Wants a New Car and Mike Stages an Intervention, just because it was so unique. And I was very proud of the way that I constructed my arguments and walked you through the steps of thinking about how to purchase a new car. And then you bought it anyway. And I always think back to that. And just, it was just kind of like a fun, you know, Mike and Maggie type episode.
Yeah. Those are really interesting. Thanks for sharing, Mike. I honestly cannot name one. There's just too many. And I'm going to take a pass.
We've done a lot. Yeah. You can name four if you'd like, or five.
I'm going to take a pass. I can't even name four. I'm going to name our top 10 episodes according to you all. Okay? And this is most downloaded episodes over the past 3.5 years. And I will say, Mike, on the car episode, prior to me announcing my retirement, the car episode was one of our top 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. It was right up in the top five. And then apparently a lot of people want to leave their jobs. Not surprising. And once I announced my retirement, that series became fairly popular. Okay, so I'm going to go through top 10 episodes according to you all based on the data. Number one, number 149, Maggie and Greg's Last Week of Work and First Week of Retirement. Number two, episode 138, How a Family of Five Can Afford to Retire at 41 and 43. Number three is number 139, Medical Insurance and Early Retirement. Number four is number 163, How to Get Started Towards Financial Freedom. I like those. A lot of those intro topic episodes were very popular. Number five was episode number 154, 6 Weeks into Early Retirement, Untethered and Finding Margin with Maggie and Greg. Number six was episode 141, Exiting Corporate America Advice from the OG Early Retirees, part 5 of 5. That was your dad and Mark coming back on for the second time. So I'm excited that your dad made the top 10 list. I think I miscounted these at some point. Doesn't matter. The next one was episode 162, why you never have enough time or money and how to fix it. I really like that one. I think that was one of your ideas, Mike. Next one was episode number 158, control your lifestyle to find financial freedom. And then the next one was episode number 155, the keys to a full life with that science couple.
That's an interesting list.
Yeah. And you like how I just passed the, like, I just can't name my favorite children.
Mm-hmm.
So I will let you guys name your favorite children based on the data.
So let's get into some more favorite memories, if you don't mind, Maggie.
Sure. Before we do that, Mike.
Okay.
I need you to take a 30-second hiatus.
All right.
Open Instagram. And did you see the reel I made right before this episode aired? I forgot to post it in a story, so you might have missed it. But it's there now. You'll see it. It'll only take you like 20 seconds.
Oh, so many pictures of us.
It's a quick and short one. But I thought you would appreciate some quick photos of us from over the years.
That's really sweet. Thank you, Maggie.
And I also wanted to, I wasn't like fishing for a compliment. I just wanted you to have those memories as you started to share some of your other things you're about to go through.
All right. So where should we begin? Favorite memory of each other? Or we should save that for later.
Well, I don't know. You wherever you want to begin.
All right. As I was reflecting on this, I was thinking about the ways that we have changed while doing this show, even though we sound the same. I think we have both undergone a lot of change. And when I look back on your financial journey, and, you know, when we first met, you were asking me, like, tax advice, right? That was, like, the first thing that we started doing is talking about money.
I was paying I was like, why are my taxes so high?
And if I try to pinpoint where you made the biggest leap in your net worth journey, it was also the kind of the boldest move before retiring, actually, to overcome a lot of the stuff that you had kind of struggled with, like your bag lady syndrome.
Was it the 75% move?
It was. It wasn't on the podcast, but it was our conversation about deferred comp. And that was also, like, I think a big change in our friendship, because you were asking, I was telling you, like, you really need to do this deferred comp. It's like an early retiree's dream. And you're like, well, how much should I do? And I'm like, all of it. And you're like, oh, well, like 10%. And I'm like, no, all of it.
The max was 75%.
Yeah, and 100% of your bonus. And then also in conjunction with that, we discussed putting it in a more aggressive high growth index fund. And you did both of those things. And it was overcoming a lot of the
fear.
Yeah, the fear and cautiousness you had around investing. And so that was like a big, I think, moment for you. But also the timing worked out well, because that was right before the COVID crash. And so when the market tanked, you were pouring a ton of money into stuff that rebounded dramatically. And so not only emotionally was that a big change for you, but you also made a lot of money. But it was also a point in which I think I realized that, you know, like, we had a lot of trust between us, because this was like, I was asking you to do something like pretty big, you know, pretty different than what you'd been doing. Yeah. And you did it, and it worked out well for you. And that kind of set the stage for a lot of the decisions you made down the road.
Well, if you recall, it started with you telling Greg he was spending too much on his cell phone bill.
That's right. That was a baby step.
And then that was the baby step. And then you quickly escalated to and put 75% of your salary, which, keep in mind, 75% of my salary, when you then include what goes to 401k, I literally did not get a paycheck. I would get like $50 sometimes. Yeah. I think it was like negative sometimes based on what was happening with different taxes throughout the year. And so it was essentially deferring my comp, and it was practice too. I'll get more into it in a bit when you ask me some other questions.
Now, this might be tough for you to answer, so I will answer what I feel is the biggest change I underwent, and maybe there's no change you've noticed in me, but what you have influenced in me has been appreciating and taking advantage of the little things. So, like, little trips. You take little trips all the time. Little purchases, little gestures, financial or otherwise. I am always looking for huge impacts, and, you know, which is why I take these like 2 month trips or whatever. And those are great, but I miss out on all these little things throughout the rest of the year. And the way you live is really creating small opportunities to enjoy life, whether it's activities or by spending money. And that has really inspired me to change the way that I approach, you know, not only when I travel, but also all the times in between when I'm traveling and doing kind of grand adventures. And then I think the other thing that really changed for me, or what you inspired in me, was that I decided to be bolder and accelerate my timeline for requesting time off work. Because we had this kind of goal, you know, we were saying like Bali 23 or bust, and we were going to say, well, we're going to take the full summer off, and if not, we're going to leave work this summer. That was kind of our plan in 2019. But once you started requesting 4 days a week and you started moving towards retirement and telling your leadership what you wanted, that really inspired me to accelerate my plans, and it worked out, and so I thank you for it.
That's interesting. I think from my observation of that, I think it made you realize that it certainly couldn't hurt to ask.
That's right.
And then you asked, and I think you at times were, I don't know if surprised, but pleasantly, you know, pleased by the answers you received. And, you know, you've had to fight for it more or less at different times, but it's not been that difficult to just ask for the things you want, especially when you're well thought of and when you have other options. So you're not stuck there if people say no to you. And that's a really great, confident position to come from, that, you know, we have a lot of privilege that we're both able to come from that position and be really honest about our intent and our career interest or our lack thereof interest at different times. Because some people, you know, they have to have their paycheck next week, right? And we had both put ourselves in a financial position to have the confidence to ask for the things that we really wanted and see if we get it and not be afraid. Okay, should I reverse that?
Sure.
So in true fashion of myself, I was going to say in true Maggie fashion, but I hate talking about myself in third person. This won't be brief. The most significant way that you have influenced me, Mike, is a few things that are all related. And you already spoke to one of them, right? So I was already pretty good with money before I met you, but in terms of saving money, but not as aggressive, right? Like meeting you definitely supercharged and inspired that early retirement was possible on a timeline that I hadn't quite appreciated it was. And so getting really aggressive and doing the 75% deferred compensation, maxing out my 401k. I was not maxing out my 401k before I met you. You remember that? That was when we had the tax discussion about how much I was paying in taxes. And I think you started with some basics and we're like, well, are you maxing out? Like how much you can reduce your taxable income? And I was like, no, I was doing like 10% or something and I felt good about it. And so you really inspired me to get more aggressive on things. And in a way, like you said, I had a lot of fear. We talked about it in the very first episode that I told you I went back and listened to. I talked about my bag lady syndrome, and which is the idea that no matter how hard you work and how successful you are and how much you save and everything else and plan for the future, something will happen that takes it all away. And there's a book called The Bag Lady Papers that is about someone who was very successful and lost all their money in the Bernie Madoff scheme. And so I was afraid, like deferred compensation, it has some fine print, right? If the company becomes insolvent, it's in a rabbi trust, it's not my money. It's sitting there, even now, it is sitting there held in a trust by my company. And if the company were to become insolvent, not just bankrupt, but actually like insolvent and couldn't pay their bills, and if someone bought them, that's different, they would take over the trust. So there's a lot of safety nets in place on a deferred compensation plan, but I was scared of it. I was like, well, I just want to keep my cash in the bank. It's safe and it's with me. So I was very scared to invest and to believe in, I understood the value of compound interest, but I just had a mentality of like, I would rather just keep the money I've made and not have it grow and have it be 100% safe. And that wasn't going to get me anywhere as quickly. And so I really look at kind of how much to go back to the question, which I already forgot, which is the most significant way you have. This is also how we went in our first episode. I kept forgetting the question. And, you know, I wouldn't be early retired on the timeline that I early retired if I hadn't met you and done this podcast, because it was a combination of meeting you and all the things we just talked about. And then also talking to a bunch of other people who had already done it. You know, it's a lot different to talk to your dad who did it 40 years ago. And, you know, it's a lot different for me to talk to somebody who's 35, 40, 45, has young kids and has done it now, right? Within the last few years, and hear them tell me, you know, it's going to be okay. Just, you know, push yourself off the cliff. I kept waiting for someone else to push me off the cliff. And I'm a year, almost exactly a year into early retirement. It's ironic that this our final episode will literally air the exact 1 year week anniversary, whatever you want to call it, from when Greg and I early retired. And it's going really well, and I have no regrets. And so I just, you know, like, life is short. I'll never get this time back with my kids. And I'm really happy with the decision that Greg and I have made. And I wouldn't have made that decision on this timeline. I don't believe, you never know, but I don't believe I would have made it on this timeline if I had never met you, Mike. And so to me, that is the most significant way that you have changed me. You've made me less fearful and more confident, and just educated me financially on levers I could and should pull, and helped push me in a friendly, but like in a tough love way towards making them. Like, you're not a subtle guy. So you were pretty, it was helpful to have someone that was kind of more aggressively pushing me in mm-hmm. some ways.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And I think I've tried to thank you along the way on that. You know, I always think of, like, you know, when you say you're not dying, by the way. No, Mike's not dying. That's not why he's retiring. He's a young, healthy 40-year-old. I mean, you are in your 40s. You're getting older. But I often think about, you know, when someone does pass away, that's when we all of a sudden start thinking and telling them, you know, the things we think and how much we appreciated them and all these things. And so I've tried to tell you along the way how much that meant to me, Mike. I hope you already knew that. But that is a really big thing that I'm incredibly thankful for, and is collectively one of my best memories about this podcast and this time. And I'm not sure what it means, but there is a bird that keeps running into the window while, so it's very distracting because it's like hurting itself, keeps flying into the window.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the metaphor is there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
Thank you.
So I would like to share my favorite memory of you.
Oh, gosh.
Now, there's like a lot of funny memories because you're kind of a quirky lady. But my most fond memory is up on Eagle's Nest celebrating your retirement when we were in Germany together over the summer, because we were hiking up on top of this mountain. I had those little bottles of champagne. We toasted your retirement and celebrated with our kids and our spouses. That was awesome.
Do you remember what we did right before that?
Took a golden elevator up?
Well, after the golden elevator and before the toast.
Oh, you almost killed somebody with your drone?
Well, I wasn't even getting at that part. We were flying our drones. I almost hit some stranger with
that was
drone.
Also one of my worst memories of Maggie, when you almost got taken away by the German police.
I thought it was funny. Because it didn't actually hit him. It just got close. No, but it was a cool memory up there flying our drones too. I'm not going to let you go first on these anymore, Mike, because that was a memory I was going to share, but oh well.
Well, I think it's nice that we both have the same fond memories of each other.
That literally is what I wrote down as my favorite memory of you was you going to the trouble to surprise me and Karen. We were hiking. We had a lot of crap because we had all our kids and stuff. So we already have to carry around snacks and water and, you know, all this stuff. and you had two little bottles of champagne and little sippy cups. And apparently you had them with you the day before, something we didn't have time on that hike. And so then you did it the next day, which I think turned out to be a cool day. And but you toasting Greg and I's early retirement as a surprise up on Eagle's Nest in Germany. And was just it was a really cool memory. And it was related to what I was just talking about, which is, you know, the role that you had in our journey and in a very pivotal moment in our lives that I think will continue to influence how we live our lives and the memories we have with our children and our levels of happiness with each other and with our lives and in the world and the influence we can have on the world. All these things are, you know, there's these moments you look back upon. And for me, early retirement was a big moment, and you toasting it up there was, you know, a very meaningful and thoughtful moment. And that was my favorite memory. So you also don't get to go first anymore. That was also a memory of something you did. What about your favorite memory of me? Was it hitting the guy with the drone?
Yeah, it's almost killing the guy with the drone.
Oh, okay. I almost hit Greg in the face with my drone once too. Actually, like, I think I might have nicked him a little bit or something. There's a really good video that I have of him like duck, like a Matrix style backwards duck to not get hit in the face during what was supposed to be a family photo. Okay. Mike, I got a couple questions for you. Because we're in very different positions of I'm going to keep podcasting and you're going to not. So in the spirit of you no longer doing this podcast or podcasting, this bird has got to stop. I think maybe this bird wants to be on my new podcast, perhaps. Little dude's like sitting there and then just keeps going into the window. Okay. Mike, what will you miss the most about this podcast specifically and the experience of podcasting weekly?
Well, I will miss doing something hard. And when we built this, that was hard and it was fun. And we committed to doing it like for a year at each time. And by the time we got to like 2022, our third year, you know, we had really hit our stride and it ceased to become something hard. Now, it was still fun. There was a lot of reward from it. But for me, looking back on the challenge of building something new together, that's really what I'm going to miss the most. That was what meant the most to me.
Okay. And I should have called this Mike's Minute on the Mic, by the way, because that's what it is.
All right.
I know you don't have any immediate plans to start a new project and you're retiring from this for a bunch of reasons you got into throughout episode 197, 198, and 199. They're all worth listening to if you want to hear more, particularly last week in 199. I got a few compliments of it being helpful to hear your explanation about passion projects and other things more. Anyways, you don't have immediate plans. You want to create some space in your life. You never know what will come into it. But next week, when you have an extra 2 to 3 hours in your week, how do you think that'll get absorbed? Any specific?
No specific plans. You know, I'm not so busy that I count the hours and I know what I'm going to do with it. It would be like if you have 30 days of vacation, asking somebody what they're going to do with one more day of vacation. So I have like a surplus of time. It's something I work very hard at to build in a lot of free time. So I guess my answer would be take naps on the deck.
It is fascinating to me that you're the one that's still working and that that's your answer. And if you asked me what I would do with an extra 2 to 3 hours in my week next week, I would name like 5 things that I don't have time to do this week mm-hmm. that I would be. And I'm the one that doesn't have a job, a paid job at least. It is fascinating the different structure or even ideals. I don't know if ideals is the right word, but design mm-hmm. or how our lives are set up.
So Maggie, even though I'm not doing a podcast, you are continuing with a new podcast, and I think you are ready to share the name of that. Is that right?
I am.
All right, let's hear it.
I think I am. That was like an I am.
Mamas with Maggie.
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Hold on a second. So I've been pretty quietly and secretly working on this new podcast since about 3 hours after I received your email, Mike. I don't know, maybe 10 minutes after. And what would you name a new podcast that I was doing? You
just named it. Context, a financial journey.
You're not far off, actually. Did you say Money Mamas with Maggie? A lot of people have sent various thoughts and names. Everything from why wouldn't you just continue with Friends on Fire to, which I think we've gotten into, to things like Money with Maggie. And I don't like my name being in the name. I will say, just to piggyback on my point earlier about, like, I am a little, obsessed is the wrong word, I like consistency and rhythm and symmetry, and I don't want to miss a beat. So this new podcast will launch the week after this episode airs. So this will air May 8th. Is that right? This new one will launch May 15th. I'm really building out the suspense of it. Mike doesn't even know the name yet.
I don't.
Though I was kind of waiting for you to throw out a name, and then I was like, okay, let's call it that. So my new podcast, it's called Inside Out Money, and it is focused on redefining wealth from the inside out. I believe if you want to improve anything about your life, you got to start on the inside and then work on the outside after that. And there's a really awesome quote from Morgan Housel that is, financial success is not a hard science, it's a soft skill, where how you behave is more important than what you know. And I really believe that this is not about the math. It's about your mind. And it's going to focus on things from that angle. So there'll still be, it's a financial podcast. It'll still focus on a lot of tactical financial stuff. I think the most interesting part is it will be a rotating set of co-hosts. And I've really enjoyed the friendship part of it, Mike. And we talk about it all the time, like talking to someone else. The whole point of Friends on Fire is talking to other people about money. I don't want to talk to myself about money. No disrespect to anyone who has a podcast where it's just them on it, but that's just not appealing to me. It's not fun. It doesn't give me what I'm looking for at this point in my early retired life. And I'm excited because this will give me an opportunity to talk to many different people on a regular basis, which I'll get more into as it's introduced. But I'll leave it at that because we really want this episode to be focused on Friends on Fire and our 200th episode and so many reflections to talk about and reflect upon. I can't think of the right verb other than just repeating the word. But yeah, that's it. You'll hear more on social media, and I'm sure I'll put a link in the show notes to the trailer for the new Inside Out Money podcast.
Sounds great.
What do you think, Mike? You're hearing it for the first time.
I know. I like the name.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just keep in context, a financial journey on the, you know, in your back pocket.
I will. I'll keep it as my backup. Oh, and then sometime over a beer, I'll tell you all the other names that I got very that were not chosen. Okay. Should we talk about our most rewarding part of the podcast?
I think we should. And so that I don't give the answer you're planning to give, why don't you go first?
Well, also, just to be clear, you're letting me go first because you've prepared something, which you teased in the last episode. Mm-hmm. So I feel a lot of pressure to get this right. I'm just kidding, because there's no right or wrong here. But I will say, in complete transparency and honesty and context, if you will, before I share my most rewarding part of the podcast, I will tell you, you know, it's tough because, like, I'm really sad about Friends on Fire ending, but also this isn't ending, right? The work is still out there. Our library of resources will remain. Friends on Fire is still a thing that Mike and I built that we are both, I was going to say I'm incredibly proud of, but I know for a fact we're both incredibly proud of it. And before I get to some of my top of mind thoughts on the most rewarding part of this podcast, I just want to preface it with saying it's really hard because I've been through this recently in leaving a company just a year ago, and not just a company, but like a long career with a company. And the good and bad of it is you're so distracted and busy wrapping things up that you don't have time to feel as much. And I feel like that right now about Friends on Fire. I am so distracted by, I don't know if distracted is the right word, preoccupied, whatever, busy with thinking about launching a new podcast because I'm so proud of our Never Missed a Monday. I don't want to miss a Monday. And I like doing things good and right as best as I can, that I haven't had as much time to mourn Friends on Fire, if you will, which is probably a good thing in many. That's why I say it's a good and bad thing. Like I'll have more time to reflect in the coming weeks because I've been so busy doing things for launch. Had this been over a longer period of time, I would have not been kind of so just trying to compress a lot of things within a short period of time. And so my point is I have been too busy to reflect as much as I perhaps would like to in a perfect world. And this is my dog ate my homework excuse, right? Of Mike alluded last week that he had something prepared for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to get this new podcast up and running. And I don't have time for most things. And I'm really backed up on a lot of volunteer stuff that I'm doing. But anyways, so all that was context to me sharing the most rewarding part of this podcast for me, in case you forgot the question, Mike. Some of the things I would have said were all about meeting you, but I met you before the podcast. And all the things I talked about how I probably wouldn't be early retired right now and having this incredible freedom of time that I have with myself and with my husband and with my kids and my family that I have right now if I hadn't met you and if we hadn't done this podcast, Mike. I'm not going to go into detail on that because I already said that. So I don't want to repeat the answer, but that I just want to double click on that because that is one of the most rewarding parts of this podcast for me and one of my favorite memories, as we talked about earlier. But truly the most rewarding part for me that is all related to that is the impact it's had on other people. I know the impact that other people have had on me. And like I said, you, many of the people we interviewed that were already early retired had a massive impact on my own early retirement journey. So I find it to be a massive privilege that you and I talking about stuff we enjoy talking about every week, Mike, has had an impact on other people. So to me, the most rewarding part of this podcast has been the impact it's had on other people, right? I just talked about the impact it's had on me, but I truly do have a service mindset. I am driven by helping people and it really does make me happy. And it's why I always enjoyed leading people at work. And it's why I've enjoyed this podcast so much is the messages we get from people, the impact we've had on their lives. When someone sends a message and talks about how they likely wouldn't have been inspired to pay off their mortgage or start saving money or dramatically turn around their finances, like that is incredibly meaningful. And back to the point, Mike, where we both said, you know, we would sit in a room to talk to 50 people once a week. And so the fact that thousands of people tune in every week, and then some of you take the time to tell us the impact that it's had on you, that to me is the most rewarding piece of it, right? There's certainly the piece that's all about me of, yeah, it's helped me personally, and I wouldn't be where I am today without this podcast and without having met you, Mike. But I really would flip it around. Truly the most rewarding part of it is the impact that it has had on other people. And the fact that I know the impact because you guys have taken the time to tell us the impact that we've had on you, that is incredibly meaningful. And quite honestly, it is what makes me want to continue doing this. I think we talked about this briefly in one of the last few episodes. They're all kind of 197, 198, 199 are all running together to me. But it's one of the reasons why, as much as you're ready to not do this anymore, Mike, I'm kind of in the opposite place. Like, I want to do more of this because this is one of, aside from my family and, well, I was going to say, I have a million like hobbies also, but this is top of the list, right? I really enjoy doing this. And every time I hear the impact it's had on someone else, it fuels me a little bit more and a little bit longer to want to keep doing this and to enjoy helping people on their financial journeys. And yeah, that is what has been most rewarding to me.
It's a great answer. And I would agree with you. It is also one of the most rewarding parts of this podcast has been to help change people's lives in some small way.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what everybody has been waiting for, a long emotional monologue from Mike O'Leary. That's why people have waited 200 episodes for this.
Is it a poem by Robert Frost?
It is about poetry. You're right. In episode 127, aired in 2021, before you had committed to retiring and while still struggling with that decision, you referenced a line from a famous poem. Do you remember the name of the poem?
In fairness, I always muffle the road less traveled, the path less... Poor Robert Frost. I always butcher the title of his poem, but it meant a lot to me.
I read it for you. And you cried. And
you framed it for me after that.
And it became a very important thing for us. I made you that etching and framed it for you. And we turned that poem into a public speaking presentation, which people loved. And on a side note, I hope we can deliver that again in the future. Okay, so let's read the poem. It's a short one. Two roads diverged in yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And so poems are meant to provide many interpretations, and I like how this one is about individualism and following a less traveled, unconventional road. And that's true on its face. But that's not what this poem is really about, Maggie. And you always call it The Road Less Traveled, but that is not the name of the poem. The name of the poem is The Road Not Taken. And what Frost was saying isn't so much about individualism as it is about the difficulty of choosing and the fear of choosing wrong. He wrote the poem for a friend who was plagued with indecision about many things. And they would go on hikes together, and his friend would question decisions about which path to travel on and then lament his choice for what he was missing on the road not taken. And so the poem makes very clear that both roads appear the same. It's an illusion that we can know the future and choose a road to get us there. And that's why we struggle to make decisions big and small. And it's impossible really to know what the future holds and if one decision will have the desired results. We have to do the best we can. And what we do as humans is we look back and maybe with regret or maybe with pride, tell ourselves a story about the decision being one that was easy or clear, when perhaps both roads look the same, and there was really no decision to be made at all. Robert Frost's friend also struggled with one major decision, whether to enlist and go to war. This was World War I, which he ultimately decided to do after receiving the poem. And so when you brought up this poem and it became our thing, I thought it would be appropriate to reveal at the end of the podcast that it was apropos for reasons you didn't realize. When you were struggling with a life choice, you referenced a misunderstood poem, which wasn't about choosing an unconventional life. Its real meaning was at the heart of your struggle that day. It was about simply making a choice when the outcome is unknown. It was written to help a friend make a decision, and I was able to read it to you with the same intent. So to bring this back to the question, the most rewarding part of the podcast was being part of your retirement journey and your choice to leave work. The show was to help friends talk about money, and that was our mission statement. But what was rewarding was talking to you about money. And you made a very dramatic change in your life, one that most people are unwilling to make. And outside the show, you had so many doubts and the fear that you would choose the wrong road. You were like Robert Frost's friend. And in reading that poem and being there with you every week, I feel like I was able to help you pick a road. That was the original intent of Frost's poem. And you did. So I hope that you'll be telling this with a sigh, ages and ages hence, that Friends on Fire and this friendship made all the difference.
That was really nice, Mike. I am honestly digesting it all. Like, even as you were saying it, I was like, oh, it's like on a podcast or a book. I want to like pause and go back and listen. And I have a thought. And I, you know, it takes a lot for me to just listen and not interject along the way. I had a lot of thoughts along the way that have since passed, but I appreciate you sharing that and tying that back in. I didn't know as much of the history around that poem and what he wrote it for and everything else, but you've made me speechless, Mike. Doesn't happen a lot. I'm gonna wrap that up with thank you, and I appreciate you preparing that and reading that, and I'm really going to miss doing this podcast with you every week.
It's been a wonderful experience.
I asked you for one word at the beginning, and you said proud.
Mm-hmm.
What's your one word of how you're feeling right now?
Proud.
Okay. I don't know if it would change throughout.
I think I would feel sad if we were no longer friends, but since we're still friends, then I look back and feel proud about the podcast.
I'm also very proud. I am also sad because the reality of all friendships is it is easier to maintain friendships when you have the regularity of seeing someone and they're in your lives. I always think of a good friend of mine back in one of my first jobs after college. I love them. They lived really close to us and we worked together. And I would see them all the time as a result. And then eventually we ended up switching to different companies. They moved out much further away to the burbs. We weren't in each other's orbits day to day anymore. And it doesn't make me like that person any less. It doesn't make me value them any less, but we don't hang out as much anymore, right? I'm talking about this other person. And, you know, so I think for me, I am really sad because I know we will remain friends, but I also know the reality that we won't have a weekly show together anymore. And that helps to give us a really good cadence for our friendship.
Yeah, I think it will just take a little bit more work, which is okay.
Yeah, but it makes me sad, right? I am proud and sad, and I'm excited for the future. There's all these emotions, you know, we can have at once. And thank goodness you didn't ask me to pick one word because I could not. And I just, you know, this isn't a goodbye. It's a see you later. And like we've said a million times, you know, this is the end of a project and a podcast that we've done for the last 3.5 years, a weekly commitment and conversation with you all. And it will still be here. You guys can still go back and enjoy it. Mike, you and I can still go back and enjoy it. When you miss me one day, you can just go back and listen to episode 127 or whatever you'd like. And I'm just going to miss this. I think this was a really fun and successful and meaningful run. I don't even want to throw the word successful in there because it was a fun and meaningful way for us to spend quality time over the last 3.5 years doing something that we enjoyed and got a lot out of individually, but that also helped other people. And that's a pretty cool sweet spot to be in. And I'm going to miss Friends on Fire, Mike.
Me too.
I don't even know how we wrap this up.
I think we need to say goodbye.
Hey, Mike, in our first episode,
mm-hmm.
I tried to get you in sync to say welcome to Friends on Fire.
Yeah.
We kept trying to say Friends on Fire. That. It was hard. You didn't want to do it. Could we say goodbye to Friends on Fire together? Thank you for listening to Friends on Fire, and then we say Friends on Fire together, okay? When okay. I'll say thank you for listening,
okay.
Then we in sync say Friends on Fire.
All right.
Thank you all for listening.
Friends on Fire?
Come on. Thank you all for listening. Stop it. Thank you all for listening to Friends on Fire. Friends on Fire.
All right.
Okay. He's never going to do it. That's exactly what you did in the first episode, which you probably remember.
I've made no progress.
Okay. So now we say goodbye?
No, not goodbye. Let's just kind of hang up.
Okay. No, you have to hang up first.
No, you hang up first.
No, you hang up first.
You hang up first, Maggie.
You
hang up.
On the count of three.
One. Two.
Two. You three. Hang up first.
Oh.